I would say to every girl in the world, just first of all, begin to think that it's possible. Second, continue to think that it's possible. And third, don't listen to people saying you that it's not possible.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder, he was a businessman, and I never got to learn how, and it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now, like, this whole world is startup and tech crazy, and I just want to know how to code too. Hack Reactor makes coding professionally go from being a dream and something that you just desire to have to really being a legitimate programmer. You could get a job straight away after. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take your steps that much further, you got to check out Hack Reactor. Hack Reactor is the trusted environment, academic level education to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. This is Esprit Devora, and I am here in Barcelona, Spain, and getting connected with the tech community. It's amazing how many powerful people in tech are based around the world. And today I have Francesca.
Hi, Esprit. So nice being here with you.
No, totally. I love being here. And actually, we're in Spain, but you're Italian, right?
Yes, I'm Italian, and been living here for 13 years now, so
I
almost speak Catalan, of course, which is fundamental in Barcelona.
Wow.
And previously lived in Paris, and so basically I'm a world citizen, and really, I feel it in my heart.
I love that. So I learned the term world citizen as I've been traveling, and I'm super into it. So tell me, go ahead and introduce yourself, share your full name and what you do, and why this whole tech community finds you so inspiring.
Yeah, my name is Francesca Gabetti. I'm co-founder and CEO of TeamEQ. It's a tool helping teams to basically see if they are aligned and motivated and being able to measure, like a team analytic, their intangibles, the team intangibles, which are so key in our decision. But the curious thing, and I think the interesting, how did I arrive here?
Yeah, totally.
Which is my story. Yeah. And I used to work in multinationals and in marketing and communication and management field. And I really felt it was not my environment. Since the beginning, I was entrepreneurs inside. And I traveled a lot and tried to find always new solution and new things. And working with social media in 2008, so when social medias were already really, really at the beginning,
right.
So pioneering
totally.
Here.
It was
and
so much fun then.
It was really fun. And when I remember going to general managers and explaining about Twitter in 2009 and Facebook 2008, and they were just staring at me saying, hey, are you crazy? I'm on TV. It's okay for me being on TV. I don't need any social network.
Right.
And after like 2 or 3 years, everybody was there.
Oh, no, I know. I remember when everybody needed to be convinced what Twitter is.
Yeah, I remember. So in Europe, it's later, of course, than United States. Though we saw United States from here and say, hey, it's coming. But they're not so sensitive.
It's so crazy because what you had to go through is insane. So you got into an accident and you weren't able to walk for a year.
It was a hernia disc problem that was affecting my leg. So actually I was losing my leg. And I was in a multinational growing and progressing my career, and suddenly had to stop. And I got one operation, and then coming back to work and second time they told me that I should operate for a second time. And I simply said no. And try to succeed and to go on with natural therapies.
Did it work?
Yes, that's when I really realized that was not just a physical problem. There was emotion. There was like what I would really like to do in my life. That was more than just physical.
Yeah.
And when I began to explore our different levels, like the physical one, the emotional, the mind, and the spiritual level, and the alignment, the needs. To be aligned to succeed in life and to have a plenty life.
I mean, it's so crazy. I mean, this is a conversation that we'll have offline, but I before going on this trip, and one thing that inspired this trip is that I was injured for 5 months, and I was in pain every day for 5 months.
Same sort of thing as you, but I was able to walk, just in excruciating pain. Yeah.
But I perfectly understand, because my frustration was so high, I could just not really help myself going yeah. through this.
Yeah.
And only when I accepted what I was going through and tried to see farther than that,
right.
I was able to do something with my life.
But you're saying that you discovered, and this is what I find interesting, you discovered you wanted to do your company in that experience, and I had kind of the same sort of thing where I'm like, what am I doing? Like, now I can't really walk, I can't move, I can't do anything. What do I want out of my life? Like, if I have, when I have another chance, because at the time it felt like, when will this pain ever go away?
And it's like, also, once it's feeling lucky, being here, and the responsibility to do something better than I had before in my life.
Were you living in Barcelona at the time of your accident?
I was living in Barcelona, and everybody was telling me, hey, you should come back to Italy, you should come back to your family. And I said, no, this is the life I chose, and I just cannot come back for a physical problem. That would be crazy for me, because already in a difficult moment, going through, and if I come back, it's just throwing away everything.
Totally.
So I stayed here, and that was my point of no return, let's say, of coming back, better said. And I began to learn about holistic view in companies, and I started coaching Chinese medicine for 4 years.
What? You really got into it.
I ended up being a therapist of Chinese medicine and working with systemic therapies with the people.
Yeah.
And then I just soon realized that my organizational past was too strong. And it just was my destiny not to go away, but to find a way to integrate the two things.
Yeah.
That's why Team EQ was born.
I obviously want to jump back into making this fully about technology. But before I do that, one thing I find interesting is that you didn't gravitate toward the pain. You gravitated toward the solution, which is what, you know, I chose too, and everybody has, you know, different things that they deal with in their life. But I think it's very interesting that we share in both of our stories that we weren't in a good spot physically, but we made a choice. Like, it was literally a choice to gravitate toward a solution and toward...
And especially women, I feel that when we are in that moment, of course, there are different thoughts in our minds compared to men. I spoke with many friends, of course, and as I was sharing with men, their approach was totally different, because the sensation is I have all the time of the world.
Yeah.
At the end, I will end it up with success.
While
women is like, hey, I have this problem now, this is my age, this is my situation, what should I do?
Yeah.
And how can I just coming out of this, being a woman.
I
think it's different. The approach is really different.
I love it. Tell me more about your company. What, in kind of like layman's terms, as an end user, what's it mean to me? Who's your target market, and how do you help them?
Yeah, our target market are corporates. Basically, one of the big issuing companies is that we cannot measure soft teams KPIs, so like motivations or engagement or trust, if there are like effectiveness within our teams, or if we feel there are conflicts, and all these are KPIs that must be tracked by companies, and more and more giving responsibilities to all the people in the organization in a transparent way, but of course anonymous way, so that it's not a top-down tool.
So you were saying that through your injury is what inspired you to create your company, and so what is the connection there?
Yeah, because in to me, technology in this case and in general should be useful to integrate the tech part and the humanistic part.
Right.
And of course, when we are talking about people and human resource and organizations, we can be like a big brother with technology.
Right. Right.
So my issue was, okay, let's have a consciousness process of growing in organizations. So, after the crisis, organizations need different things. People were lost during the crisis, and people were just really, really guessing what to do with their repartition between personal and professional life.
Right.
So this is not useful anymore. Millennials are completely different.
Yeah.
Energy, the community is there. So organization must change. And the first thing that must change is the way we behave with teams, because teams is the unit of organization. So how can we create a tool that uses technology and at the same time can measure soft KPIs to make people, teams grow? And not just in terms of results,
yeah.
which is fundamental,
right.
and it's productivity, and of course it's money,
right.
but it's also about our personal self-awareness as people.
So it was in 2008, in 2007, 2008, when you first became attracted to technology because of the social media world, and you were just fascinated.
Yeah, since child, of course, when we are curious and you want to explore everything, at the end, technology, it's a big part. So when I had the chance to really work with technology was from 2008. And 2013, I was chosen by the Barcelona Chamber of Commerce for a project in Silicon Valley for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then the original idea of TMEQ came from this very first seed of project that was how to have more women in boards. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
That's why this is one of my biggest challenge as woman, of course. And that was the origin of my actual company. Actually, we are finalists in the Hack the Gap gender equity competition in the Mobile World Congress this year.
That's
so
incredible.
We've been selected. Yeah, I'm very
blessed. You have to send us all the links and we'll include it in the show notes for sure. And okay, so I have a couple questions before we wrap up. And they're really important questions. What would you say... I mean, I love your story. What would you say you've learned about achieving your dreams?
First of all, being able to not to give up while thinking that you can achieve them. This is the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that most of the time we are trapped into a society that make you think that it's not possible. So I would say to every girl in the world, just first of all, begin to think that it's possible. Second, continue to think that it's possible. And third, don't listen to people saying you that it's not possible.
Totally.
And fourth, if you really have a dream, think how to follow him. And
totally.
not how to prevent or a B plan. What it really worked to me, I think, was remembering also the negative part of things, which is useful for the good part of things.
To
really have fun and not to forget that at the end, which are the important thing.
And to remember where you came from and remember what you've overcome. And then how do you overcome challenges?
One part is inside, but the other is people around. I really believe strongly in the community. I really believe strongly that when you spread good energy, they come back. So I really believe that when you are in an environment when there are a lot of people that are experts and people that can help you, and people just first is not a fear to ask for help. Because as women, we normally think that we need to be strong and we need to face everything, or that people must see us as strongest in the world. Because
right.
if not, if we show our fragility, it's a problem.
Right.
So I think the first thing is just accepting that we are women and no problem in showing our fragility as our strongness. And this is something that we can do better than men.
And one thing that I'd like to kind of shed light on is, what's one thing that you didn't know before becoming a founder that you had to teach yourself and now you've mastered? Because it's not easy to be a founder. So, like, what's something you've overcome in becoming a founder?
It's so true that it's not easy. And we are just 2% in the world, women founder, and we have to know that. And it's not the same as being a male. When you face investors rounds, they are all males. So this is something I didn't know. It's, for instance, the fact that maybe I was forced to avoid some kind of meeting because I was a woman, or I was not accepted to some kind of meeting because I was a woman. It was too difficult for men to face a woman in the conversation. So that's something I didn't know. But also is the leadership part, which is that when you grow fast and you have to hire people and you have to execute fast and you have to go out with your idea and really deliver to the market,
right.
everything at the same time, even if we are multitasking, and it's difficult. And the resources, I think I mistook at the beginning of the company for not believing in my idea and asking for money before. Ah. So this is something that males told me, hey, this is maybe a male would have not do that. Because, of course, when you have an idea, you believe in your idea.
Right.
And you ask for money when it's an idea.
Right.
And
you waited.
Yeah, I waited. And then I shared with the other women. And I found that it's something common in women that if you have an idea, maybe we don't think that this idea, it's worth to be to be inverted at the beginning.
Totally.
So this is something I've learned.
It's a very classic, actually, way of thinking men versus women, you know, Venus, Mars, whatever. And since you are a solution-based person, when you were presented with a unique life opportunity to communicate with investors that were primarily men, like, what were the solutions you came up with? Because, you know, this is the point of this podcast, is to share that there's always a positive way to look at everything. And that's what I've loved about hearing from you, is you're always seeking for the solution.
Always.
So what was the solution that you found?
I found two. The first is just being myself and being truthful to our values and to my values. So basically not showing fake results, just being very direct in showing our values in the company, and having the attitude that to find a partner, not an investor. So sometimes having the saying no. So being like saying no to money and say yes to partners.
Totally.
Which is so important to me. It's not just about money. So when you think about money and having investment, just an investment, I say just, you really focus on this aggressive part of I have to show that everything is good, everything. No, if you find a partner, you just show what it is, and you make this partner part of your team, being 100%. Able to grow. So this is my way to face this.
100%. Getting investors is like being in a marriage. And so you want to make sure you enter it accordingly.
Yeah, yeah.
How can people connect with you?
Wow. From Twitter to Facebook to whatever. I really love to be connected with people all around the world.
And how can people find you on Twitter and Facebook?
It's at Franci Gabetti, which is FRANCY. GABETTI in Twitter.
Perfect.
And in Facebook is my name and my surname, so no problem. In LinkedIn, whatever. And
can you spell it for us?
Yeah, of course. It's FRANCESCAGABETTI.
Perfect.
In LinkedIn or Twitter on whatever.
And what's one resource here in Barcelona that you recommend for people who want to get involved in tech?
The resource of Barcelona is a high quality of life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a very interesting city if you're able to set your limits and go beyond your limits at the same time. It's one of the unique cities in Europe, I think, that have such wonderful climate. It's very well connected from the airport, and at the same time, lets you mistake.
We met here at Pier 01. So tell me a little bit about Pier 01.
Yeah, this building has been opened in June. And there are like some selected startups inside, from big startups to new ones, belonging to Barcelona Tech City project. We had the first original idea of the building. And the idea is to give a space for the Barcelona startups and tech environment community, to have a space where people coming from abroad, investors and everybody, can really touch the tech community here. And actually they are now opening another building because it was full since
awesome.
The beginning. And everybody wanted to be here, so we are lucky we are inside.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Francesca, for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. I found it incredibly inspiring, and I'm so excited that we met each other. If you want to connect with more people like Francesca, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group. WomenInTechVIP.com takes you straight there. That's the Women in Tech Facebook group. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Tweet at me at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit Devora. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.